If benefits are the meat of the sale, then perhaps objections are the veggies. Right, they are as essential to the sale, yet they're often the most avoided. Right, people go out of their way to avoid objections because us humans go out of our way to hear a no, don't we? Right, we prefer things to be good. We prefer to avoid conflict. We certainly want to avoid that so-called rejection thing. We certainly want to avoid putting ourselves on the line and having someone say no. Now we feel rejected and depleted. Oh, no one likes me. No one wants my investment banking services. And then that creates all sorts of fear, doesn't it? If I can't sell this, what am I going to be able to do? How's my career going to end up? I'm not going to get paid this year. How do I go all the way to the top of my firm? And so we go out of our way to avoid hearing no. And see, this is what you see a lot in capital raising meetings. Capital raisers spend 45 minutes occupying every ounce of oxygen in the room, not leaving any space for anyone else to speak, because they just want to hear yes at the end. So they turn around, they say, "So, what do you think?" And really what they're saying is, "Do you want to buy? Please, please just buy." Banker meetings are the same, aren't they? Instead of having this interactive dialogue, they're just flicking their book, talking about their pages. Come out at the end, "Oh, that was a great meeting. Great meeting." How do you know? Because they didn't overtly tell you the meeting was boring or the idea was dumb. How do you know what they were thinking if you didn't ask them? And you see, we're running these meetings very, very, very differently, aren't we? From the moment you step into the meeting, it's an interactive dialogue. You're connecting, figuring out where are they at. And rather than hoping that they don't say no or avoiding objections, in the process of discovery, you're flushing them out. You're trying to figure out where are they at. Why might they not do this? What roadblocks might they face? What things might stand in their way? An institutional level. Maybe they've got to get the board to be supportive of it. Maybe they're concerned about credit ratings or integration or what shareholders might think. On a personal level, they might be thinking, "Well, what if it fails? How does that reflect on me? What about all the effort that it's going to take to get it done? Is that worth it?" So in profiling them personally, you're figuring out, well, what might get in the way? In discovering their needs, wants, wounds, what moves them forward, what holds them back, you're figuring out, well, what are the dynamics around this? So instead of hiding from those potential roadblocks, hiding from potential objections, insulating yourself from hearing no, you're pushing for it. Because that's what top salespeople do. All right, so we're going to go deep into this topic of objections. We're going to look at it in four categories. What's the philosophy of objections? We've started hitting on this. Two, how do you destroy objections? This is a process called the objection destroyer. Three, objection closer. This is once you've destroyed it, if it's still lingering around, how do you just beat it to death like that hammer? Four, what are the tools of navigating objections? Objection philosophy. Sounds fancy, doesn't it? See, what I mean here is, how do professionals think about objections relative to amateurs? Right, those amateurs avoid hearing no. Professionals know two things. One, objections are always there. They have awareness of them. Two, you must hit them. If you don't hit them, you've failed to clear them. You've failed to clear that road for moving forward. Why? Because come back to point one, they're always there. How often do you walk in to buy a product or service without some lingering question as to whether it's right for you? Do I really need this new phone? Well, what size fridge do we really want? Oh, I want that sports car, but I guess the minivan's more practical, isn't it? I could work with Goldman here, but I don't know, am I going to get focus of the senior team? Oh, I really like the way the boutique thinks about this, but, you know, maybe I'll get fired if something goes wrong, because you can't get fired for working with Morgan Stanley. Well, if we do this capital raise, then what do we do with the cash? Now we might get some of these activists yelling at how much cash we got. But there's always some type of objection, especially in the context of big companies and these really important corporate finance and M&A decisions. Of course there's objection. Of course there's objections to working with you. And when you avoid them, you no longer have an ability to blow them out. And yes, I get we all want to hear yes. And that many people are fearful of objections because they don't know how to deal with them. Turns into combat when many of us are predisposed to avoiding conflict. But as we work our way through the objection-destroying process, you'll see it doesn't require any of that. You'll become their best friends in destroying objections. And this is because when you're seeing objections right, you see they are your best friends. See, they're going to be there. And if you're not hearing them, how are you making progress on the sale? Remember what we said back in qualifying. The only thing better than a quick yes is a what? Quick no. If they're not into what you're there to talk about, well, why do you want to burn any more time? If you're showing them 10 acquisition targets and they're just never going to do a deal, do you want to come back and keep talking about another 10? Or would you prefer for them to say, look, we don't want to ever work with you? Right, that might not be fun to hear, but is it better to hear, we're never going to work with you, so stop wasting your time? Or for them to say, yeah, let's do another 500 meetings. Right, and this is the point, right, which is objections are your friend when you see them the right way. Oh, they're telling you. How specifically do you best want to use your time? Another way objections are your best friends is that when they're coming out, you know you're making progress on the sale. Right? You know that if you're hearing objections, it's because these other buying drivers are moving them forward. They got their emotional drivers. They got their logical drivers. Oh, now they hit the roadblock. So by definition, you're hearing objections because there's reasons why they want to move forward. Kissing that woman out the front of her place. You're hearing objections like, no, you can't come inside, because she wants it, doesn't she? But she's got to throw up those objections. You know you're moving in the right direction. In selling, it's often said, on average, the sale happens after the fifth closing attempt. This means you got to hear no 5 times. No doesn't mean yes, does it? But not hearing no certainly doesn't mean yes. When you're hearing no, you know you're moving in the right direction. And so part of your job to be a professional is you want to flush out the objections all the way through the meeting, so that by the time you get to the end of the meeting, you've heard them or you've blown them out otherwise. And you know that you've done everything you can to have cleared the roadblocks that get in the way. Does that mean that you're going to get to the next step and they're going to buy what you've got? No. But it certainly means that you won't get to the end of the meeting confused as to where they're at. So people come out of these great meetings. Oh, that was a great meeting. We didn't even hear any red flags. That's a red flag. If you're not hearing any objections, any reasons why they don't want to do this, they probably don't care. If they're raising objections, you know that you're getting somewhere. You're moving in the right direction. So the philosophy is, how do you do this? How do you get to the objections? How do you work with them on it? See, a lot of the time, they're never going to tell you. It's not you, it's me. We've just got such a great relationship with our other house bank. Yeah, we really, really love this idea. You guys have got the best ideas, but, you know, we're just not there as a company. Us humans hate to say no almost as much as we hate hearing no. And so you very rarely hear the real objection. Which is why a device we're going to get to called the porcupine question is powerful. Because you're there to keep hunting the real objection and seeing if you can clear it. Remember what we said earlier about internal resistance. They're not resisting you. They're not resisting your product. The roadblock isn't about you and what you do. The roadblock is inside them. There's things that they need to clear in order to keep moving forward. And this comes back to principle 5 of rainmaking. That you're helping them navigate the buying decision. You know what you've got, they need. They're in pain. There's things that are missing. Opportunities they're seeking to unlock. You wouldn't be there if what you had wasn't valuable for them. And if it's not, you should leave. But they need your help in navigating what gets in the way. And this is the philosophy of objections, becoming highly skilled about the way you too navigate objections together. All right, let's go deeper into how specifically do you do this, the objection destroyer process.